turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 6 as we continue with our preaching through the book of Hebrews. And you can see the title on the screen, Assurance with Confidence. And so good for us to think about this morning, and especially after last week's message, and it was such a harsh warning. And I love that we'll see the pastor's heart as he backs it up with some encouragement this morning. And so if you have your scripture, and I pray all of you do, if you don't have one, you can use electronically or phone. You have in the seat back in front of you should be a pew Bible, and we should always take God's Word and open it up as we study it to make sure what that thus says the Word of God is being preached. So if you would, stand to your feet. If you've got it, Hebrews chapter 6, we'll be looking at verses 9 through 12. Verses 9 through 12. Hebrews chapter 6. It says this, "But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and the labor of love which you have shown towards His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of the hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. I pray, God, let Your word go forth. Touch us right where we're at. If somebody's here that needs Christ, may it open their heart that He might be received. If somebody needs a fresh anointing, a fresh awakening through Your word, I pray that'll happen. Whatever goes on, we'll pray that Christ will be glorified, because we ask these things in His name." And all God's people said, you may be seated. Assurance with confidence. As we were talking about, we'll see a pastor's love, the pastor's heart as he comes forth. As we had that challenge last week where he was challenging the apostate people or the apostasy in the church, and he was talking about those that have rejected Christ and these things. There's no hope for them. How many people, if you reject Jesus Christ, if you reject the Holy Spirit of God, there's no way to salvation. There's only one way. John 14:6 tells us that Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and what? The life." And then He goes on to say, "No one comes to the Father except by what? Except by Me." There's not many roads. The world tells you there's a plethora of ways of getting to heaven. They're not all roads don't lead to heaven. There's only one way, and that's in the name of Jesus Christ. People say, "Well, that's not politically correct today." Guess what? It might not be politically correct, but it's biblically correct. Can anybody say amen? And so if we love people, we're truly going to share that. We're going to share the truth in love. We say we love everybody. Are we sharing the truth? You can't love and turn your back on somebody in sin and not reach them and tell them in love about the gospel. So I love He uses that word right off the bat in verse 9 about beloved. And so we'll see His heart that He's reaching. Why was He doing that? Because it's easy, as He made that harsh challenge last week, it's easy to feel like it's all believers that were lumped in that one great big pile. And so He's letting them know, now wait a minute, I was challenging those that are in apostasy, those that were lost, but I know they're believers in this congregation. That's what He's saying to the Hebrew church. And so He's encouraging them, brothers, you can have assurance with confidence. Aren't you glad this morning you can have assurance in Jesus' name? Confident that there is hope beyond this grave and this world, that whenever we pass from this life into the next, because of what Jesus has done, we will be with Him forever in a place called heaven. In eternal worship. And we can have assurance of that. In fact, John says in his gospel, he said, "I write these things that you may what?" No. Not, "I sure hope so." But that you may know. And so in the Word, we can find these assurances. And so we learned last week, and we talked about Matthew 13, and that's a lot of people call that the mystery parables. And you say, well, why do they call it the mystery parables? It's because it's the mystery of God and His church on earth. Do you realize what a mystery this is if we look around? That we gather together as God's people, redeemed by His blood, different walks, different places. And look, we gather together on this Sunday morning to worship the true God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's a mystery. Wow, what a great thing that God did in Christ. And so we learned about the soils last week. And remember, some fell by the wayside, some were rocky, some were weedy. And they were only one soil that produced what? Fruit. And so we realize, as he challenged last week, it's that production of fruit in our life that shows us that we are children of God. And so he's speaking to them, but he also realized in that same parable, Jesus knew there'd be a lot of fruit inspectors that would raise up. We like to be fruit inspectors, right? And he talked about the wheat and the tares. Do you remember that parable? That there would be many that could counterfeit their fruit until the time of harvest where there wasn't any. And so wheat and the tares, Bailey Smith preaches a lot of them. Remember when he was here, he preached that great message about the wheat and the tares. What's he talking about? That he said they sowed the field in that, but that somebody had put seed, wheat, or tares in with the wheat. And the master says, should we go up and pull? They look the same. They look the same as they're coming up. Should we go up and pull the tares out with the wheat? And he said, no, wait till the harvest time. You don't want to root up maybe some of those of the wheat or the good wheat, thinking it was tares. And so we know that harvest time is what? When the fruit is produced. And so, really, guys, to be honest with you, the only fruit inspector, yeah, we can see that. We can see fruit in other people's lives, but it boils down to, what about the fruit in my own life? God is the only one that can save, and God knows who's saved and who's not. But I'm going to tell you, by a person's life, we know that he'll say on over in John, he said, we'll know them by the what? Fruit that they bear. So there's going to be fruits that come forth, and that antithesis of, okay, how do we handle this? I like that when he gets into this part of Hebrews chapter 6, he's talking to us about assurance that we can have, the confidence of our salvation, that we can be confident that there's characteristics of salvation that we can see in our lives and in others' lives. We can be confident of that. And so I want us to think about that today, and there's really only two major points. There'll be some sub-points, but two major points. And the first is, God does not forget his own. Aren't you glad of that? How many people can say amen? God does not forget his own, verses 9 and 10. And look what it says. It says, but beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Better things. Things that accompany your salvation, though we speak in this manner, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown towards his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Aren't you glad that God does not forget his own? The writer, he's saying, I'm confident. He changes from that harsh to the apostates, to those that are lost. He said, but I'm confident that you have these characteristics of salvation in your life. And he's going to go on to show us that he says when we're saved, or when he speaks about, he's thinking, when, and he's letting us know that when we're saved, there's going to be some things that come forth. There's going to be some changes in our life. Can anybody say amen? When you're saved, and if nothing didn't change, did you really get saved? Let me ask you that. When you came to know Christ, when we know that Corinthians tells us, 5:17, it tells us, any man's in Christ, it's any woman, boy, girl, if any man, generic, is in Christ, he's what? A new creature. A new creature. A new creation. All things old passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So we know there's change. What are they? First, there's an interchange. You say, what are you talking about? When we receive Christ, when we receive Jesus Christ, our personal Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell us. Believers. He changes our life. He indwells us. And so we know that Romans chapter 8, when we preach through Romans, it says, his spirit testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. There's this inner testimony, this inner spirit that dwells within us, and it testifies with God's spirit that we're his children. There's this interchange. How is that manifested? How is that interchange manifested? Well, listen, you're going to love God, and you're going to have a love for the things of God. His what? His word, his work, his world. We're going to have a love for the things of God. Why? Because something has happened and changed on the inside. They're not only are they, we're going to have a love for his word, his work, his world, the things of God, but we're going to have peace. Shalom is that word in the Scripture. My own testimony that I've shared with you many times. I was a man without peace. There's many people out in the world. You might be here today, this morning, and you really don't have a peace inside. And what does that look like, Brother David? The way it looked like for me is I was never satisfied. Never content. Oh, I could be for a little while, but I had to try the next thing. The next side, kind of like the adrenaline junkie thing, but I wasn't jumping off buildings or something like that, okay? Probably would have, just trying to get a thrill out of life. I'm serious. It's like the next thing. You're never completely satisfied. The grass is always what? Greener on the other side of the fence. It's a lack of satisfaction. It's a lack of having purpose. You know, it's like, what in the world is this life? Eat, drink, and be merry. Let's party. Let's just have a good time. Is that what life's about? And you become disenchanted with that. Oh, sin is fun for a while, but you come disenchanted with it. And you start asking questions. It's like, is this what the world? Do I got going to work? Do I have to do this every day? Those bills are coming in every day. Guess what? You better, because those bills come due at the end of the month, don't you? And we get in that cycle, and you're not careful, you become disenchanted with life. Why? You don't have the peace of God dwelling within you. We have God's peace in us. I'll never forget, I heard that testimony that as a lost man, that we don't have peace with God. And because we don't have peace with God, we don't have peace in this world. And I knew the Holy Spirit said, boom! That's what you're missing. That's what you're searching for. A peace that only can be attained through a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I'll never forget that. And so he changed to this inner peace. When we have this, when we understand these characteristics and this assurance with confidence, we're going to have a peace with God. And it only comes through a right relationship through Jesus Christ. So there's an inner peace, but there's also an outer peace. You say, what are you talking about? Because of this, or an outer change. This outer, because of we have this inner change, the Holy Spirit, we love God, and the peace of God, it will work itself out. Can anybody say amen? How is it going to work itself out? Well, look at verse 11. Labor, it talks about a labor of love for which you have shown towards His name. We work for His glory because we love Him. Our lives manifest this wonderful love He has and He's placed in us. We work out that which has been placed within us through love, through reaching. And look what it says, in that you have ministered. What does it say? We have a desire. Not only do we have a love for God, but we have a love for His people. Can anybody say amen? What does it say? In that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Your works are produced by faith. What do? You help God's people continue. It's this practical expression of Christianity through this kindness that we love one another, that we're walking along. And think about these people, this church and the persecution that they had went through and that we studied about, and how they were under tremendous persecution, in that the ones that were not sure about their salvation were looking about going back to Judaism. And so these believers had stood tall in the midst of that persecution, and they had helped others. Oh, that we would be that kind. There's many people right here that are suffering and are going through hardships, and they need to understand that we're here. We're here to come alongside each other, to love one another, to encourage one another, to disciple one another in the things of God, and to go forward in Jesus' name. And so he's encouraging them and saying, hey, the writer says, this is affirming your faith that you can, not only did you do it, but you're continuing to do it. The past and the present, their lives are marked by these things. Aren't you glad when the writer says that God is not unjust to forget? I don't know about you, but the older I get, the easier it is for me to forget things. Can anybody say amen? My wife said, you don't remember, we went to some retreat. I don't even remember going. Look, that's terrible. That's terrible. I'll forget whole little sections of things, right? Now, there's some things I won't forget, right? Like where I go to deer hunt and those deer stands and those kind of things. It's amazing, ain't it? I've learned it's the priorities of my life, and God does a work on me. He does a work, but we'll forget things if we're not careful. And so, aren't you glad God doesn't forget? Whoa! The Scripture gives us promises just like our, He'll never leave you or forsake you. Listen, that's a promise you can hold on to, my friend. You ought to write that on the bathroom window when you get up in the morning, or in the refrigerator when you go, so every time you say, He'll never leave me or forsake me. Sometimes you can feel alone. Sometimes you can feel weary in this world. And that reminder, that's a promise of God, has nothing to do with your fickle feelings, by the way. has everything to do with, thus says the word, promise. Standing on the promises of God. That's one we can stand on. And you know what? He'll never forget. And just as God is, He's just in His punishment of sinners, I want you to know a just God will not allow anybody that has not come under the blood of Christ to ever make it to heaven. Why? His justice requires the sin atonement of His Son. Okay? Nobody's going to get to heaven anyway, either other way except through the blood of Christ. But just as He's just in that, He's also, He will remember His children and He'll reward them. See, what are you talking about? It's not our works that make us saved, but it's our works that manifest that we are saved. Can anybody understand that? Say amen. You say, how? What is it? I love the fact Jesus, in fact, Jesus said this in Matthew, if you help me, or you're helping others, you're helping me. So everything that we do is under the Lord. That's why I said that about Vacation Bible School. If you're not careful, it's been done for so long. It just becomes another week because we do it that week. But when we do it unto Him, what do we do it with? Excellence, my friend. We do it unto Him and we realize that little boys and girls and men and women are on their journey to eternity. And it's our responsibility as the church and people that love God to love them and to plant the seeds of the gospel in their lives. Man, unto the Lord. Unto the Lord. Everything that we do should be unto the Lord. Everything. My job tomorrow morning, unto the Lord. My marriage, when I leave here, unto the Lord. My children and my family, unto the Lord. And when we do that, it changes the way that we think. And Jesus said, when you do it unto me, you do it unto the Lord. Listen to what He says in Matthew 25 through 37 through 40. And we know these verses, and I love this. This is when the righteous, and He's told them the things He's done. So then the righteous will answer Him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer, saying to them, listen, they didn't do it to be recognized. They didn't even realize they were doing it unto Him. That's true living for the Lord right there. What does the king say? Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least one of these, my brethren, what does it say? You did it to me. Our labor unto the Lord. What? Look what all they did. This common, loving, reaching out to people. He said, you've done it unto me. I love John says, we will know that we have passed from death to life if we have love for the brothers, brethren. Your lifestyle can instill confidence. What do you mean? You know if it's there, and guess what? You know when it's not. Hello? You know. We know. It instills confidence. But not only that, the second point, diligence brings assurance of hope. Look at verses 11 and 12. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those through faith and patience that have inherited the promises. You help and persist in helping. Why? Because you're diligent in the things of God. So what's some things that He's telling us in this Scripture? First, display diligence to the end. It's an ongoing effect. I had somebody ask me about Revelation, about that the comment that they pressed on till the end. Listen, diligence is a marker of our relationship with Christ. We don't fall away. We press on. In fact, continuance is the test of reality. Continuance is the test of reality in our life. And so the ground of salvation is Christ, and then the evidence of salvation is that we continue in that faith. And what does it say? When? To when? Until the end. Does that tell you something this morning? Until the end. This thing is coming to a head, okay? You say, I don't know if I believe that or not. Then you don't believe the Scripture, because the Scripture points that we're working towards. What are we working towards? Christ. We'll talk about that in a little bit. We're working towards the finished product. Until the end, they never give up. They never go back. They keep pressing forward until Jesus comes or we go to be with Him. That should be our motto. Keep pressing forward until Jesus comes back or we go to be with Him. One or the other. So he says, display diligence. But next he says, don't be lazy. What does he say? That you do not become sluggish. That word sluggish is the same word that was used up in verse 5:11, chapter 5, verse 11, when it talks about dull of hearing. Remember, he said, I want to teach you these things, but you become dull of hearing. I want you to know something. Sluggish, same word. Sluggish in the ear will be sluggish to action. If we don't put God's word to use and work, sluggish to the ear will be sluggish to action. When we take God's word and we live it and we feed upon it, but then we live it out, it keeps us from becoming sluggish. Lazy. Laziness is one of the greatest enemies of perseverance. It kind of sounds like second law of thermodynamics. And what is that? Entropy, that it's all winding down, that it's expending this energy. And if we're not careful, we're like that, right? Well, we've worked so long in the church, it's time for somebody else to do it. Hello? Well, I'm just burnt out. I'm wore out. If I, and I understand those terminologies, but if I burn out, I'm using the wrong power source. Hello? I'm relying on my flesh. The Spirit of God never burns out, but we go forward, we persevere. I've told somebody this week, one of our greatest strengths is our greatest weakness here at South Fork Baptist Church. You say, what are you saying? One of our greatest strengths is we're laid back. We just, you know, we take it easy, things that come, we're laid back and all that. Well, it's also one of our greatest weaknesses. We're laid back. Do you get my drift? And we approach the things of God in the same way. It's all right to be laid back and as things come and we just bounce and go on. But when it comes to the things of God, we should never be laid back. What do you mean? We should do it with excellence and with all our hearts. Why? What's on the line? Just the souls of men and women, boys and girls. And so we should burn white hot in this race that we call life that God's given us. And we should never become lazy. How many of you? You're just not working as hard as you used to. You're just not serving the Lord as you used like you used to because you really, truth, man, you become sluggish. You become lazy and we make excuses and say, well, it's time for somebody else to do it. I've done it for so long. Show me scripture and verse for that, please. I would dare say that more souls perish from sloth than disbelief. What do you mean by that? I don't know about you, but here's what I used to say. Oh, I'll get things right someday. Oh, I'll get it right. I know that what he's saying is the truth, but I'll just put it off. You know what you do? You just keep putting it off and keep putting it off, and you never do it. You know what that's called? Lost. Lost. And so laziness can do that because we just want to ride the mule train. We're Americans. We want to pull it in gear and cruise, do we not? Let's be honest. We like the cruise. The writer's challenging them to persevere. Our works don't save us, but will confirm us as believers. I love 1 Corinthians 15:10. Paul says this. This is Paul speaking. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. I think I told Sammy that this way. I am what I am. In other words, you're a redneck. Honey, you married a redneck. I can't expect for a thoroughbred, okay? And his grace towards me was not in vain. Listen to what Paul says. His grace was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. Paul said, I labored, I worked, not that I should be saved because of grace saved me, but because I was saved. Because we know Ephesians 2:8-9 what it says. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. Listen, it is a gift of God. The grace that's applied to our life is a gift. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's not my works that make me right with God, but it's my works because I am right with Him. Oh, to work for the labor for the Lord. Listen, if you were punching, if Jesus was standing at the time clock, look, how would you approach the time clock? A little differently, wouldn't you, my friend? And yet, He's there every day at the time clock. Do you labor unto Him? as everything you do unto Him and unto His glory. It'll make us look at things differently. And that's what He's saying. He's saying, have this confidence. Are we lazy? Where would we be lazy at? Reading our Bibles. Hearing the Word. All these things will diminish our hope. Do you understand? I've never seen anybody. Maybe you have. I've never seen anybody that was full of hope that was not connected to this Word right here. That was not a student and a person of this Word. I've seen men and women that did not know where their next meal was coming from. We've seen that, haven't we, honey? And yet had more joy and more love and gave more than I ever could. Why? They were connected to this. They had hope. Why? It wasn't based on what they were wearing or what they were eating or what was going to come in that week. It was based on a relationship that they knew with a living God, and they had His Word to sustain them. The most joyful people I've ever seen didn't have anything by our standards of what we would say as far as materially. Why? They didn't need it. They had all they needed. We should never be lazy in reading God's Word. How much are you reading it? How much are you studying? You come and you listen, but how much do you leave here and you just got your fix for the week, and it never makes a difference. What I said this Wednesday night, that's a futile life that comes in here on Sunday and listens to God's Word and it don't make a difference the next 6 days of the week. That's futile. That's a waste of time. Why are you wasting your time? But when you come and you listen and you apply God's Word, and you go outside these walls and this door, which is our mission field, and we live it out unto Him. It gives us purpose. It gives us assurance. It gives us confidence that one day we will see Him and we will meet Him face to face. And I don't know about you, but when I meet Him face to face, I never see myself standing before the Lord. I'm always groveling, and I want to say, unto you, God, unto you. Well, he says, display diligence, don't be lazy, but last. Look, imitate those who follow Christ, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. What's he talking about? Fundamental to our assurance is imitating those who live by the faith. In fact, next verses next week, 13 through 20, he'll bring up Abraham. What did Abraham do? He just set out for a city whose maker was God. He didn't know where he was going. He just set out. How would you do that? God just said, get up and go. How many of us would get up and go? He said, man, you need this kind of faith. Imitate those. He puts people, when we come together in this corporate worship, we come to worship the true and living God. And so we could do that, and it expands our visions in the thing of God, in the things of God, that we can go out wide and live for God. And we encourage one another. We're on this road together. And if you think everything is just hunky-dory, you don't understand the living and this breathing of this word. Or this word. It is a battlefield, my friend. And we all battle. We all want to be good on Sunday morning plastic. Oh, everything's good. And what we need to be saying is, pray for me. Listen, come with me. Let me tell you what's going on in my life. And let me share that with you. And pray and covenant together. Why? We're all soldiers in that same battle. And we're all working towards what? Towards His glory and His goodness. And so because we are together and we're focused to worship, you know what it helps me do? It helps me to persevere with long suffering. That's patience he talks about. It helps me to persevere. Why? There's an end coming, my friend. And that end is Christ. That's the end. That's our hope. It's in Jesus. And what he's done, and to live that out daily for him. And so he says, imitate. Let's covenant together to be diligent in our well-doing. Not to be lazy. Not to be laid back when it comes to the Lord's Word. And to imitate the examples that he's given us. And to be those examples for those behind us and the young ones. And to teach and to disciple and to raise up and to press forward in Jesus' name. Imitate those who are pressing forward. Applications and we'll be done. Are you playing, Sarah? Come and start playing, please. Do you have the assurance with confidence this morning? Now answer that. That's under the Lord. Or do you know you've heard me say this many times. Now, I'm not just saying it. Not if you're this hope, a sure hope so person, that you can know so. That's not, I would hate to be banking my salvation on a hope so. Sure hope so when the Word says you can know so today. You can know so. Number two, have you become sluggish in your service to God? I spoke to somebody today. Sluggish. Instead of diligently serving Him and going forward in Jesus' name. Lastly, listen, number three. Can you tell people to imitate you as you follow Christ? Can you say, hey, imitate me as I follow Christ? Paul said he could do that, 1 Corinthians 11. Can you tell somebody that? Follow me as I follow Jesus. Let's stand on our feet. We're going to leave here in just a minute. We're going to go out to the river and we're going to baptize. But listen, now we don't have to get in no hurry because I want you to shut your eyes before the Lord right now. Just you and the Lord. Are you and do you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, His Son? Do you know that you have that relationship? You can have that assurance this morning by what? By receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Does sin dominate your life or does He dominate your life? Only you can answer that question. Do you have that assurance this morning? If not, you can find it, my friend. You can find it. You can stand right where you're at and you can say, I don't have it, but Lord, I want it. And I'm praying right now, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Lord Jesus, I receive you as my personal Savior. God, I need the assurance of that salvation in my life. And I'm asking you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Help me to live for you. You know what the Scripture says? That all those that call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you know what? You're going to make that known. You're not just going to do it to yourself. If you need to come forward, you come forward. How about do you find yourself maybe being a little slothful, what you used to be? God showed you that. Hey, I've kind of just got slack. Or how about can somebody imitate you? Could you say, imitate me as I follow Christ? What's God saying to your heart? I'm going to give you a few minutes. If you need to come forward, you come forward. The Lord's doing a work. Let Him work. Here. It's time for us to be and do right before the Lord, unto the Lord. If you've received Christ today where you stand, let somebody know. Let us know. Why? Because we need to be here and we need to help you be discipled and go forward. If you know you've become sluggish, you know, you don't have to move forward, and it's not in that, but there's something about the Spirit of God working in people's life. That you can't be, they're not going to be ashamed of the Lord. They're not going to worry about what anybody else thinks. They're just going to get it right with Him. Whatever we can do for you, we're here for you and love you. Now listen, let's take it outside the walls of this place. And let's minister. And let's share the gospel. And let's be His light. Why? Because that's what He's called us to do. So I'm going to pray, and we're going to the river, okay? Listen, I want to do one thing. Go ahead. So good. A couple students came to know the Lord this week. Man, we've seen God work. We're getting ready to go baptize here just a minute. God's working. Don't miss out on what He's doing and be a part of that, okay? Listen, I'm going to go ahead and take care of business. Riley Collins is getting ready to be baptized, and she must be changing right now. But we're going to recognize her. She wants to join the church through baptism. What's the pleasure of the church that Riley become a member? Come down here, Riley. Look, I'm going to put you on the spot with your little pink backpack. She wants to become a member of South Fork Baptist Church. You know what she told me? Never been a member of a church. Welcome to the family. What's the pleasure in the church that we receive Riley and her bad she's getting ready to be baptized? What's the pleasure, church? All those in favor say aye. Any that's opposed to that, we don't recognize that, do we?
as we're getting ready to go to the river. Follow everybody. I'm going to lead you pray, and we'll go on out here and get out and move to the river. So come and follow. Take a picture, Sandy. There you go. And we'll pray. You pray.